You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras. If this is your first time hearing about Exodus and their brand of trail cameras, all of their cameras are backed by a 5-year no BS warranty and even includes 5-year theft and damage coverage. They simply have the best trail camera warranty in the industry and have the customer service to support everything that you need, right? So currently in the month of April, and that's only for April 2nd, and April 3rd, they are running a special. You can get 20% off the Exodus Trek and the Exodus Lift 2 by using the code April. You can also visit their website, exodusoutdoorgear.com, for more information. So go check out their cameras, and let's get into today's podcast.
Welcome back to the Backcountry Rookies Podcast. So before we get the show started, I've got just a couple of things that I want to talk about. First thing, of course, is this show is brought to you by Elk 101's University of Elk Hunting, and it really works out perfect. I am currently on module number 2 on University of Elk Hunting, which has to do with picking your units and e-scouting and just kind of all of that scouting for your unit. And today's show is with Onyx Hunt, so it works out really good. I learned a lot when I recorded it. I learned a lot from Onyx that I was able to carry over when I started working through module 2. As we talked about Onyx and how that system can help, I started to really, really see that come out as I was working through the e-scouting portion. So, brought to you by Elk 101, University of Elk Hunting. Use the code ROOKIES and you'll save 20%, which equates to about $20 off of the University of Elk Hunting. Now's the time to start really thinking about that. We're into April, and September's going to be here before you know it. And I think right now is a good time to start getting into it and really digging in. Gives you plenty of time to work through it, a nice slow pace, so that you remember it and you understand it. So University of Elk Hunting, use the code ROOKIES, save $20. And so on that note, I've got some good news that I wanted to bring to the Rookies listeners, and that is we have 2 new sponsors for this show. The first one being Go Hunt, and with Go Hunt, of course, you know, Go Hunt just really streamlined that process for trying to pick your unit, go through, narrow it down by exactly what you were looking for, how many points you might have in a unit. They make it really easy. You go in and you choose the state, and then you choose the game that you want to try to hunt, and then you just start narrowing it down and filtering it down from there. If you want to know a lot more about Go Hunt, go back and listen to the Brady Miller episode that I did last year, and Brady talks all about how to use it and the functionality of it, and we really walk through it. So it's really cool. You can get a $50 in-store credit if you use the code ROOKIES when you check out or when you buy the Insider program through Go Hunt. So use the code ROOKIES and you get $50 to spend in their online store. Now, if you are an insider, that opens up and gives you a lot more access within the website and within the store itself. You get bonus points. So if you buy something that's $100, you might get 5 or 10 points back, and each point equals $1 that can be used later on another purchase. So it's something to really look at. Go Hunt, use the code ROOKIES, save. Oh, I'm sorry. Go Hunt, use the code ROOKIES, and get your $50 in-store credit and all of that access to the Insider program. So go over there and check that out for sure. And then the last one I wanted to talk about was today's show, which is Onyx Hunt. And I just partnered up with Onyx today. So we don't have all of those details, but you can certainly watch the Instagram page at Backcountry Rookies, or you'll see it on Facebook, which is Backcountry Rookies. And on the sponsors and partnership page, which they'll be on the sponsor page, you can go on there. They'll be on there, and you'll be able to see what discounts we have. We don't have it all worked out. I don't have the code worked out with them. That's all coming. I should have that nailed down here pretty quick, hopefully by the end of the week. So stay tuned for that. And if you don't follow us anywhere on social media, but you listen to the podcast, next week's show, you'll certainly have that information. So we are very, very happy to be partnered with University of Elk Hunting, Go Hunt, and Onyx. In my opinion, this is like the perfect storm or the perfect trifecta that you can put together when it comes to prepping and planning for a hunt. If you go through and you use the University of Elk Hunting, you will be extremely confident when you hit the woods. And then when you pair that up with choosing the unit that you wanted to based on the criteria that you wanted to through Go Hunt, and then you use Onyx for all of your e-scouting and just that really prepping and planning once you narrowed down that unit, it's just a perfect storm. It just works out so good. They all pair together so well. And then another thing with Onyx too, and you're going to hear a lot about it today, is their navigation. The navigation that you use when you're on the ground, boots on the ground, is phenomenal. And you will hear about that today. So I've probably talked about it enough. Just a reminder, remember, University of Elk Hunting, use the code ROOKIES, save $20. Go Hunt, use the code ROOKIES, and get $50 in store credit when you purchase Insider. More to come on Onyx. We'll have it nailed down real soon, and I'll push it out. With that, so here we go. I got Dylan Dowson from Onyx Hunt. And if you haven't heard of Onyx Hunt, I think you probably need to wake up a little bit. Onyx is pretty much the in my opinion, I think Onyx is the best hunting application out there for using maps and being able to navigate and share waypoints. And there's so many things that we're going to talk about today. But Dylan is on here. He's from Onyx, and we've got a lot of stuff to cover. Everything from using that application for e-scouting, boundaries, private land versus public land boundaries, navigation, like I said. We're going to talk a little bit about what's to come for 2019, and we're just going to touch on Onyx altogether and figure out what it is and how we can use it. With that being said, I want Dylan to be able to introduce himself, tell us who he is, how he got involved with Onyx, some of his hunting background, and all that good stuff. So, Dylan, if you don't mind, give us a little intro before we dive into all this good information.
Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, definitely thanks for having us on. Really appreciate it and happy to chat about Onyx. But yeah, for me personally, I've been at Onyx for a little over 3.5 years now, which doesn't seem like a whole long time, but, relatively with the technology, the company is, relatively new. We started in 2009. So been here for a little while now. And I actually started out in customer service here at Onyx, and it was a great spot for me to start, to really better understand our customers and our customers' needs with the product, and to kind of have that, direct customer contact was a great spot for me to start. And then I recently, about a year ago now, have transitioned into the marketing side of things. So my current job title is community coordinator. I work a lot with the Onyx social media, so anything that goes out through those channels, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all of the above, I have my hands on that. Then I work a lot. I'm fortunate enough to work with all of our pro staff and influencers throughout the country. So that, along with a few other things like attending trade shows and really just trying to help market the product and make people aware about Onyx and how it can help them. So I guess that's a little bit of background about myself as far as working with Onyx. I was born and raised here in Montana, fortunate enough to grow up in Montana. And then Onyx, we're located, our main office is in Missoula, Montana, so the western portion. So, stayed in Montana my whole life and really fortunate to work for Onyx.
Yeah, pretty lucky. We were talking before the show, and Dylan was talking about how Onyx is growing, and they're constantly rotating positions, and they're just always hiring. So I think that'd be a pretty cool job to work for, be able to dig into those maps and just help out the hunting community so much. And not only hunting community, but you guys dip your toes into some other stuff too, right? Are you working on anything for hikers and backpackers and stuff like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely, the Hunt product, which is our main focus by far. We do have a lot of backpackers, skiers, a lot of our product gets used for a lot of different genres, if you will. A lot of real estate agents are using it to find, landowner ship boundaries and whatnot. So that's always in the back of our mind. And yeah, we're just going to kind of see where that side of the business kind of takes it. But for now, I mean, we're definitely focused on the hunt experience.
And that's what we want to focus on today too, is the hunt and how can you guys help with that hunt? How did the, like, where did the idea of Onyx come from and how did it start?
Yeah. So Eric Siegfried, the Onyx founder, he also grew up in Montana, toward the eastern side of the state, pretty close to where I'm from. And his business took him to Missoula on the other end of the state. And when he got over here, he basically was challenged with, you know, I'm not sure quite where I'm at, not sure where I can access, where I can't, what's private, what's public. And so he actually started to solve the problem himself by building his own personal maps. And then putting that private and public land data on an SD chip and making it work with his handheld GPS device. So, you know, he's kind of solved his own problems in that sense and, you know, quickly realized that there was a market for it and that it would help out a lot of other hunters. You know, it really transitioned from having a GPS and knowing where your location is and then looking at a paper map and seeing what's private, what's public, and then trying to put those two together and figure out exactly where on that map that you were at. So yeah, he started Onyx 2009 and started making micro SD chips that would actually format and plug into a Garmin GPS basically, and started selling chips. And yeah, a couple of years went by and, you know, we realized that everybody walks around with a smartphone and your phone, not a lot of people know this, but your phone is definitely has as good of a GPS on it than most GPS devices. So we just started developing and working on the phone application.
And when did that, because so it seems to me like that's just been within the last few years that there's been that big push to go from like the SD card chip that you throw in your old school Garmin to the phone. Is that fairly new where you're starting to see that trend?
Yeah, I mean, we've had the app out for quite a while, but with the technology limitations and whatnot, you know, like you said, in the last couple of years, it's really, really taken off. And, you know, with the phone capabilities and the GPS capabilities built into the phones, you know, within the last couple of years, it's, let's put it this way, you know, for I think 2.5 years now, I haven't had to turn on my Garmin handheld GPS device. Just because the phone covers it. So
yeah, I don't even have an old Garmin handheld anymore. When I first started this, you know, a couple of years ago, when I got the idea of this backcountry hunting, I immediately got Onyx and it's been on my phone ever since. Phone and computer. That's where I do it, you know?
Yep.
Get on the computer, log in, look at bigger maps, drop waypoints, you know, kind of do all the big stuff and then open up the app on your phone and everything's loaded on it and it's all just shared and it's magical.
Yeah, magical is a good word for it.
Well, it is a cool story, definitely, how somebody had an issue and overcame it, and by overcoming it, just helped the hunting community so much. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So now I kind of like to dive into the how can it help guys like me that I consider myself a rookie to the backcountry, or you know, some guys that are new, maybe coming out from the Midwest or the East Coast, coming out west. I've got a list of things here that I kind of want to talk about, and these are the ways that I think it can help. And then, of course, I'm probably missing something. So if there's something that you know, we'll jump into that too. One of the first things that I have on here that I think is one of the most beneficial things you guys have is your e-scouting capabilities. Can you talk through that e-scouting and how you do it on Onyx?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, with the membership, and I guess to take a really quick step back for anybody who has not heard of Onyx or, you know, isn't familiar at all. Basically, you know, what we offer is primarily people use it on their phone, but you can also use it on the computer. But it's a platform that essentially turns your phone into a handheld GPS. I know we touched on that, but it will show your GPS location as well as tell you what's private land, what's public land, show you all those boundaries. You know, and just a ton of other information, whether it be hunt boundaries that you can pull up and specify by, you know, if you're deer hunting, elk hunting, bear hunting, etc. Just a lot of different data, but just in a nutshell, it shows you where you're at on the map in relation to those public and private land boundaries. So you always know where you're at, you know, and you're not trespassing and whatnot. And you can quickly find places to go access that public land. But yeah, with that being said, I mean, as far as the e-scouting goes, you know, you can pull up the maps right on your desktop. And that's usually how most people are e-scouting and planning ahead before they get out to the field, myself included. Sometimes even here at the office, we've got a big screen kind of over in the corner, and I can even link my computer to that just to look at the map kind of on a much larger screen and see it from that perspective. But essentially, you can log into your account on the computer. You know, we've got all 50 states, the data, the public lands, private lands, a ton of other information, like I said, but you can go into those units where you're planning on going, you know, mark waypoints for, you know, for example, I want to look at this camp spot, or I want to hike over here and check this burnout or anything like that. You can mark those areas ahead of time, scout your whole unit and your plan, and all that data transfers right to your phone. So when you transition from e-scouting to, okay, now it's time to go put some boots on the ground and go into this area, whether it be to scout or go hunt for the first time, all of that information and all that work that you did e-scouting on your computer or your phone is automatically there, you know, in the palm of your hand. So, you know, it's just a pretty smooth, seamless transition from e-scouting to actually boots on the ground in the field.
Right. It really is just the way everything ties together. And one thing that I wanted to mention too is how easy it is to share. So whatever I do on my computer, it shows up on my phone. And then if I want to share something with my hunting buddy, there's a little link at the bottom of your waypoint and you click share, and I can send all of those waypoints to my hunting partner, so that they get all of the exact same points too, as long as they have Onyx map.
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely a, you know, it's a relatively new feature. You know, you've always been able to drop waypoints, and you can customize those waypoints, choose between a bunch of different, you know, predetermined icons in there. But you can also go in and customize the name, you know, add notes, whether it be, you know, this camp spot didn't work, or, you know, this elk wallow was recently used. You know, you can really customize those waypoints. But as far as sharing them, you know, that was pretty new to us last year, and it's helped me out personally a ton. You know, one time I can think of specifically last year, I was fortunate enough to fill a late season cow elk tag up here in Montana. And, you know, there was two of us, but another one of our buddies, and actually a coworker of mine here at OnX, was in the area. And I was able to, you know, drop a waypoint right to where we were with that elk and send it to him. And in a, you know, it was in the middle of pitch black night at that point, he was able to navigate using that waypoint right to us to help us pack out. So there's a lot of different use cases. A lot of people are sharing, you know, stand locations, meetup spots, you know, hey, let's meet here at the trailhead at 5 a.m, you know, to where you can, like you said, mark a waypoint, send it to me, and I know exactly, you know, where you're going to be or whatnot. So yeah, that one's a relatively new feature for Onyx, and we've had a lot of great feedback.
Oh, it's fantastic. So I'm planning a bear hunt here in May, me and some buddies. I'm in Texas. My one buddy's in Colorado. And then there's two guys out in Idaho, and we're all going to come together in Oregon for the hunt. And all of the e-scouting that we're all doing is happening, and it's all getting shared, you know, from all of those different places. And we're all going to kind of converge on that campsite, and everybody's just going to come together, and it works perfectly. I did it out in Arizona back in December. I dropped a waypoint, sent it to a friend of mine, and the next morning at 5:30 a.m, that dude's truck rolled right up. We parked right next to me, and we went out scouting for deer the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Now, to share those waypoints, though, you do have to have cell phone signal, correct?
Yep. At this point, you do have to have cell phone signal to be able to, essentially what you're doing is you're texting it, and so you can mark the waypoint, and then how to do that for people who are familiar with Onyx is if you just tap on the waypoint within the app, some options will come up and you can just hit share. And then you can choose whether you want to text it to somebody. It'll pull up your contact list and send it right to them. basically as a link. You know, you could send that via email or however you want to send that link. But yeah, I mean, if you were to share a waypoint with me via text, I would get a text from you, tap on that link, and it would automatically pull up the Hunt app and drop that waypoint right to where that location is.
Yep, very cool feature. So that's definitely has super, helped me a lot in my at least planning and preparation. And then when you're on the ground, it helps too, because when you're navigating, like you said, you know, you shoot an elk and it gets dark and somebody comes in. Another one of the benefits, we didn't really touch on e-scouting too much, but I would, now that we're, I kind of like to move into the different layers that you guys offer. And if you could explain what those layers are, it's certainly some of the more important ones. There's so many in there that you don't have to cover them all, but you know, we'll cover boundaries, public, private, burns, that kind of stuff. And then how we use those for e-scouting.
For sure. So yeah, I mean, to anybody who's not super familiar with Onyx, like I said, we essentially start with base maps, what we call them. And you can choose whether you want like an aerial imagery base map, which is, you know, what people are used to, Googler style, it gets referred to a lot with the image, or topographic base map, or a combination of both. So with that being said, you choose your base map, and then the layers, which is what you just mentioned, you can choose whether you want, which layers you want at any given point in time, but those layers show on top of the base map. So for example, if you're looking at an aerial imagery base map, you're looking at basically a satellite image of the Earth. And then if I choose to turn on the private partial layer, that data will overlay right on top of that imagery. So you'll be looking at the same imagery and all of a sudden, you know, you'll have private partial lines with names of who owns those private properties. So kind of a quick background there for anybody who's not super familiar with it, but yeah, layers, like you said, there's a ton of different layers. Some of the most common layers definitely are private and public lands. You know, most people are getting the app so they know, you know, where those private and public lands are, how to access the public. And if it is private, you know, where are the boundaries and who owns that properties, whether I'm, you know, trying to get permission or whatnot. So private public lands are probably our most used layers. Outside of that, I'm looking at a couple here. So we've got all 50 states as well. So for each state, you know, we've got state specific layers. For Montana, you know, we use the term GMUs, game management units. So you can choose, you know, what species game management unit that you want to see, whether, you know, if I'm going out on an elk hunt, I'll choose the elk GMUs and all those different units will pull up. So you always will know exactly what unit you're in, where those boundaries are. We've got a lot of state specific here in Montana, it's called block management. You know, there's some that's called access. Yes. Feel free to hunt areas where essentially it's private property, but they work with different organizations to allow the public to come access that property and hunt. So we have a lot of great relationships with those organizations and are able to show those locations, which opens up a ton of land to go and explore and hunt and fish and do whatever you want there. So we've got a lot of state specific layers. Some of the more hunt specific nationwide layers, if you will, we mark out all of the forest fires, you know, whether it be historic wildfires or current wildfires. During the fall here in Montana, it's a big thing. You know, we always have a few fires at least. So you can go in daily and track, you know, where that fire is, how much it's expanded, and track all that information. But, you know, on the other side of things for hunting, it does show all the historic wildfires. So I can go in and look and see, okay, this area burned in 2014, or you know, here's in an area that burned last year, that kind of thing. So that helps a lot with elk hunting and finding areas of new vegetation, new growth there. So yeah, there's just a couple different ones to touch on. We've got a layer for all the wilderness areas. We've got a layer that will show all of the Forest Service trails, It'll show trail mileages, trail difficulty, all the recreation sites, whether it be campsites, you know, fishing boat access sites, trailheads, all of that. So that's just a couple, but I mean, the list goes on and on. There's a lot of very specific niche layers that we have in the app.
Talk a little bit about the roadless areas.
Yeah, the roadless one's another, you know, relatively new one. We worked with Randy Newberg on that one. He was actually using our app for e-scouting and kind of going in and, you know, coloring areas off where there weren't any roads that he was going to focus on hunting. So we actually worked with him and created this layer. Essentially what it does is it highlights the areas farthest away from any roads. You know, especially if you're trying to go on like a week-long backpack elk hunt, you know, and you don't want to be competing with, you know, the people that are driving down roads and road hunting and, you know, getting a little ways off the road or a trail, but, you know, you're trying to go back and really find those elk that are less pressured and just get away from people in general. That roadless areas layer has been a game changer for myself and a lot of people. So if you turn that on, like I said, it basically highlights the areas farthest away from any road. So that's been a huge tool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to look at that too and kind of see where those concentrated areas are or those roadless areas are, you know, because you think you're looking at a really good spot and then you click on that and you're like, oh man, there's a road that goes through there. It's not going to work.
Yep.
Did I see, so I've got it up right now and I was playing around with it. I thought I saw on here, you guys have migration corridors and routes and stuff too?
Yeah, we do have a little bit of that and it's very subject to the location. And you know, a lot of that data we're obtaining from a third party. And so that's one of those things that we'll build a relationship with the owner of that data, whether it be an organization or what have you there. And, you know, we're not necessarily grabbing and building that data set ourselves, but we're housing it within the Hunt app, if you will.
Gotcha. Okay. I know. So I'm assuming that, like from those state organizations, because if I remember, I saw some migration corridors and like winter ranges and summer ranges and things for elk. And if I remember right, it looked a lot, I was looking at Colorado at the time and it looked a lot like the Colorado map that they had made. So do you guys work with that state to pull that information in? And is that where you pull it from when you say third party?
Yeah. So a lot of times it's the state, you know, as far as the private parcels go, most of the time, you know, we're working with the specific counties, the county GIS records and pulling that data from there. So really depends on the layer, but a lot of times it's state agencies or, you know, all the way down to the specific county, you know, as well as we do have like a Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation layer, an NWTF turkey records layer, QDMF or QDMA CWD layer. So, you know, we work with great organizations like that and we take, you know, the data that they compile and make it so people can actually, you know, look at a map and have it make sense, you know, reading a map through it with that data.
And that was going to be my next question actually was the add-on layers that you have. So QDMA, how does that work and how does that, what's that track?
Yeah, so the QDMA layer, it tracks CWD distribution. So any county that has had a known record of CWD, you know, we will highlight that county. And, you know, primarily working with CWD and QDMA, you know, they gave us a really thorough background of that, you know, CWD. And basically, we took their expertise on it, and they wanted us to highlight those counties, let people know that there has been an issue there in the past. And basically, what that is a warning, if you will. It's like, you know, if you're hunting in an area with known CWD cases, you know, you should definitely read the rules and regulations, have everything tested out, and just make sure that what you're doing is legal and safe.
And then some of the other ones, like the Boone and Crockett Trophy Big Game, where's that reporting coming from and how's that one work?
Yeah, so that one's with Boone and Crockett, and there's a lot of great data in there. You know, each individual is going to use that one differently, but basically what it does is you can filter, you know, by species. So I can look for Montana, say mule deer, and I can look and see the counties by heat map, you know, which counties have had more Boone and Crockett records in, you know, in the state than others. So if I'm trophy hunting, for example, and I only have a week to come out to Montana and I want to find, you know, the best mule deer I can in my short amount of time, that would be a good resource to say, okay, well, this county in Montana has, you know, produced, you know, 14 Boone and Crockett entries in the last X amount of years, for example. You know, so it's definitely, there's good genetics, good quality in that area. Then I can go back and see, okay, well, how much public land is in that county or in that unit, to see if it's doable. So yeah, Boone and Crockett, there's a lot of great information on that one.
Okay. And so I just wanted to bring this note up too. These add-on layers that we're talking about right now, the Boone and Crockett and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, they cost money to add them on. So if you have a premium membership, and we'll talk about subscriptions and memberships here in a minute, but if you have a premium membership in Montana, you have to pay an additional, looks like $10, $9.99 to get access to that Boone and Crockett.
Yeah, so the Boone and Crockett, the Rocky Mountain Elk one is actually, it comes with the membership. So there's only a couple add-on layers, and it's more specific data that, you know, most people who get the app aren't going to be looking for. It's just kind of an extra add-on. But yeah, the Boone and Crockett Trophy Big Game Records is one of those. The Eastman's MRS data is another add-on, and then Prairie Dog Layer.
Okay, cool. And we were talking about the Prairie Dog Layer before the show, and I said I wasn't going to get into it because it's not really big game. But if you have the opportunity to hunt prairie dogs, those things are so much fun to go out and just plink on.
Yeah.
And so explain the Prairie Dog Layer a little bit, because I'm sure that people are listening that live in areas where there's prairie dog towns and they may not even know it.
Yeah, definitely. So basically the Prairie Dog Layer, we had one individual here at OnX spend an extreme large amount of time zooming in on our aerial imagery. And if you zoom in tight enough on that aerial imagery, that satellite image, you can actually see the prairie dog towns, they call them, locations where high concentration of prairie dogs, they dig holes, and those are pretty visible from that imagery. So we had one individual here mark out basically all of the prairie dog towns throughout the country, at which point we took, and with that layer, it'll show you, if you zoomed out to, like, say, the whole U.S., you'll see where, like, the concentration of prairie dogs are. And then if you zoom in more within that or your area specifically, it will start to, like, show you those very specific towns. And if you zoom all the way in, we'll have those little prairie dog icons on there. And like I said, if you zoom all the way in, you'll be able to actually see those prairie dog mounds. And that's generally a spot where, you know, if they were there when the imagery was taken, they're more than likely there still.
Oh, yeah. And it, more than likely that prairie dog town's just gotten bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they're fun to hunt. It's just fun. It's like playing whack-a-mole. You just go out and they pop up all over the place and you take a shot. All right. So I think we've covered layers pretty heavily. Talked about e-scouting. We talked about public and boundaries and private boundaries and things. Let's talk about navigation a little bit and how we can use it to help with navigation.
So, I mean, one of the most common misconceptions with the phone in general as a GPS is, you know, where I'm going, I won't have service, so it's not going to work. It won't show me where I'm at. When in all reality, the GPS on your phone is satellite-based, so that works no matter what. We do within the app have a feature called off-grid where you can save maps for offline use. Being a Montana company, and, you know, for me personally using the product in Montana, I can't really remember a time when I last went out and had great cell service in the woods. But you don't have to worry about that with this off-grid feature. All you have to do is go in and save, you know, a portion of the map that you're headed to prior to leaving town or cell service. And then once you get out there, it will still show you your exact GPS location. You can still track yourself. You can still mark waypoints. It'll still show you all the layers, all the base maps. It'll work just like you were sitting at home on Wi-Fi, as long as you predetermine where you're going and save that area ahead of time. So, yeah, I mean, as far as the GPS goes, as I'm walking around on the map, I, you know, there's a little blue dot showing my GPS location, and that moves on the map. So even if I walk up to an area that transitions from public land to private land, and there's no fence line, no boundary markers, no anything indicating, I can watch on my phone, zoom in, and I can know, okay, I'm 3 feet away, I'm 5 feet away from private property. So that's one of the big features of OnX, is that GPS capability in relationship with those boundary lines.
It's, you have to remember to download those maps. Yeah, when you're doing that, unless you know you have cell phone signal in there. So for, and this is just, so I know already the areas that we're going to be hunting in for the bear hunt in Oregon. And I have already downloaded the 5 mile map, the 10 mile map. And then what is it, the 150 mile map, just these huge maps. And I already have those already downloaded. And I did it on Wi-Fi so that I know I have them ahead of time. So when I go out there, shut the phone down, I know my maps are already saved. And because I saved them in the app, they have all the glassing points that we already have picked out. All of that stuff is already saved in those maps. So when we hit the road, we turn off cell phone signal, or we go to airplane mode or whatever. It's all there. It's all going to be in there, and we're not going to lose it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the, like I said, it's the biggest misconception of our product is, well, you know, all this is great and I can see why it'd be helpful, but where I hunt, I don't have service. So yeah, I mean, and to touch briefly, just more on the same maps, like you said, when you go to save a map, you have an option to do a 5 mile map, a 10 mile map, or a 150 mile map. And basically what that is, to break it down, is the 5 mile map, obviously you're saving a much tighter portion. With that portion, you can zoom in very tight on the aerial imagery. You're still going to get that crisp, clean aerial imagery, zoom in really tight to the ground, get all the detail. Whereas the 150 mile map, you're saving a giant portion of area. So no matter what, no matter where you go, you're still going to have a map with the private property boundaries, with the public, roads, trails, all that stuff is covered, but it does not allow you to zoom in, you know, to that really tight zoom level and get that clean imagery. So it just kind of depends on your use case. Me personally, if I'm going out to an area, I will definitely save it in the 150 mile map, just so no matter where I'm at, even if I switch units or, you know, go 20, 30 miles away because I'm trying to get away from pressure, whatever the situation is, I will always have a map and can still navigate. And then I usually go in with like a 5 or a 10 mile map and really hone in, like, okay, I think I'm going to spend a couple of days hunting this area. So I'm going to save that in the 10 mile map just in case I want to zoom in, you know, and try and find like a specific water source or, you know, anything like that. So a lot of different use cases there, but that's just kind of how I generally use the map.
Yep. That's exactly what I did too. Saved a bunch of different 5 and 10 mile maps and labeled them all, you know, by unit number and north, south, east, west, and all, you know, I just broke them out so that I understood them. And then the big 150 in case I get way out, somehow get way outside of my, where I've already saved, I have a big map to get back where I need to.
Yep, for sure.
So another cool thing that you can do is when you're in airplane mode and you have your maps downloaded, you can track yourself. So you can turn on a tracker. I can't remember what it's called. Basically, it just tracks your footsteps, tracks a trail for you so that you, if you walk out, you know, and you're zigzagging all over the place and on some kind of crazy trail, you could follow that trail like breadcrumbs almost. You can follow it on the way back on your phone and get back to your camp or truck or whatever. That's another really handy feature that you have while you're out there. And it can all be done in airplane mode, so you're saving phone battery. Which that's key.
Yep.
So something else to also, and I'll let you talk about this one because you probably know more of the things that you can drop. And I just call them dropping spots, but like water glassing points. You mentioned earlier wallows and things like that. Talk about putting those on the map and, you know, kind of saving them and all that stuff.
First of all, yeah, that was a really good point that you had. As far as the offline maps go, that's a really good trick, is to put your phone into airplane mode. It saves a ton of your phone battery. But yeah, as far as marking waypoints, you know, if you look at my app right now, it's cluttered with probably a couple hundred waypoints. I probably mark more things than what I need to. But yeah, it just helps me out a ton. And whether it be you're marking your tree stand locations, or, you know, every time you come to a well-used trail, if you're whitetail hunting, you know, you mark that spot, or, you know, I use it a ton for blood trailing, you know, marking, dropping a waypoint at exactly the last known, you know, spot of blood is huge for blood trailing, and really helps you see, you know, okay, well, this deer, this elk was heading in this direction. Look at the topo, look at the imagery, and you can really get a better understanding. But, you know, as far as that goes, everybody's gonna use it differently, and mark it. But we do have a ton of predetermined, you know, whether it be trail, tree stand, camera, truck, four-wheeler, glassing, you know, there's a lot of predetermined waypoints that you can do. And I think I touched on this, but you can also customize the name and whatnot there. So, yeah, my map is littered with waypoints.
Yeah, that's how mine was. Last year in Colorado, I would drop a spot for everything I could think of. Creeks, water, you know, wallows, heard a bugle, saw some cows, just kind of everything had little spots, and I had to go back and clean it up afterwards. But it was helpful to have it, to be able to, you know, to be able to do it. And then you mentioned it, you can customize them. So you change the name and, you know, you put on there wallow, or, and then the date and time, or, you know, the day you heard a bugle, you can customize it and you can put the date and the time that you heard the bugle.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed too, you know, in the field, it's extremely helpful, whether you're trying to get back to a waypoint or just anything like that. But also, if I'm out in the field and I'm, you know, marking a lot of elk sign, for example, you know, bedding areas here, trails here, you know, fresh rubs here, elk bugled over here, it's really beneficial to then come home, log into the computer version, and kind of pull up a bigger image of what's going on. And for me personally, it really helps, you know, with looking at the topo base map and then the imagery with all those waypoints. It might not all make sense while I'm in the field marking all this, but then I look at it on a bigger screen with the topo, and it's like, okay, well, there's a creek down there, you know, all these beds are on a north facing slope, and it just really helps kind of you understand why the elk are doing what they're doing and why you found those fresh rubs where you did. And, you know, it for future hunts in that area, it helps me out a ton.
And then just for that, for, again, we'll go back to the convenience of it, when you drop those points on your phone, because now you're, you know, you're out in the woods and you're cruising around, you put those points on your phone. Once you come back and turn off airplane mode and log back on, all of that stuff is going to be on your computer. So it's not like you really have to go searching for it. Those points are right there. You zoom in on them and everything's good, because it
yep.
syncs up. So, so for those that haven't, transitioned, I guess, over to using their cell phone for navigation, and I'm sure there's still people out there that love their Garmin, talk about the, like, using the old chip versus using your phone. What features did the chip give you that's maybe, I don't want to say comparable, because I honestly don't think the two compare that closely, but.
Yeah. And I mean, we definitely still, we do sell a lot of chips that people are using in GPS units. And if somebody's comfortable using a GPS unit and that's what they know, then by all means, that chip, basically we sell those by state. And what that does is it will show you, it doesn't show you the imagery, but it will show you, topo of that state, and then it will still have the private and public land boundaries, all the public land, same as the app, is broken up into BLM, state, forest, you know, all that good information. The private lands still show who owns that property, how many acres it is. So it's a lot of great data. It's just not not as customizable. It's not really customizable at all. Kind of what you see is what you get with the chip, and it's, you know, it'll help you determine where you can access and roads and trails and all that good data. Whereas the phone, you have all that, but you can customize it. You can choose whether you want to turn those layers on, turn them off, add different layers to it, see the aerial imagery on top of it, you know, so it's, they're very, very similar. But the phone is definitely more customizable, and, you know, essentially it just limits a device that you're heading into the woods. You know, I used to carry my phone and my handheld GPS, and now I just rely on my phone.
So you brought up a really cool point too, that and so once those maps are downloaded, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when I download a map, if I don't have the layers turned on, like if I don't have burn layers and GMU layers and all of that stuff, if I don't have those turned on when I download a map, are they visible to me when I'm in airplane mode and out in the field? Or when I download that map, do I need all those layers turned on so that I download that portion? Does that make sense?
Yep. No, it absolutely does. At this time, you do have to go in and turn on those layers that you want for offline use before you download it. So that's a great question. Like I said, at this time you do. We are working on something possibly in the future to where if you save a map, you automatically get those layers. So, you know, that's something we're constantly working on, trying to improve that save map process. I know myself personally, there's been a few times that I've went to turn on a layer and I had forgot to have that layer on before I saved it. So you can't use it out in the field. So yeah, great question. Something we're definitely working on and hope to be able to provide to customers here soon.
Okay, good. And that's an important one to remember. So if you want the burns, you want the trail heads, the trail mileage, difficulty, all that stuff, turn it all on, download your maps at home before you go out, and then you'll have it. Because I know, so that, and I guess the reason why I had to ask it is because I always have everything turned on when I download them. So I've never tried it without it on. So one of the cool things I think about the phone versus the Garmin chip, and sorry, we took a really long way to get here, but I think it was beneficial. One of those things, so last year, I know we were hunting around a burn area, and I could, to better see the to better see the area on the map, I had turned all of those layers off when we were just navigating and, you know, kind of hiking through the trails. And then when I thought we were getting close to the burn area, I would turn that burn layer on, and it would allow me to see how close we were getting to the fringes of it, so that we knew if we were getting close or not. And that, so that's a pretty cool feature too, that you can just turn it off so you don't have to see it. You don't have to kind of try to look through the different colors. Just turn it off, it's gone, and then you turn it back on when you need it.
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, data like that burn layer, you know, that information is not included on the chip. And it's one of those things that, you know, it's, some people want it, some people don't. And with that chip where you can't customize and turn those layers on and off, you know, it's just something that's not provided with that. So definitely a lot of benefit to the app, you know, in that sense, to where if you want to see those burn layers, by all means, just, you know, go ahead and turn them on whenever you want.
So that was what I had down. That's kind of how I use my Onyx. Those are, when I'm e-scouting, I'm using the layers, I'm looking at the boundaries. I've used some of those. I don't use the add-on layers or anything, but I know that they're in there. Am I missing anything? I'm surely there's a million things that Onyx does that I'm not using it to its full capability. Is there something that we haven't talked about?
You know, we've briefly touched on just about everything. We're always working on, you know, the next best thing and taking our customer feedback and, you know, working on those things and how we can improve on whether it be a current feature or implementing something completely new. So like you said, there's a ton of different use cases and a lot of different functionalities of the app. But I mean, as a broad overview, I think we definitely covered most of the stuff that that people get the app for.
When's the layer going to come out that will just show you exactly where that great big 6x6 bowl is at? And you can just walk right up to it and put an arrow in it.
Yeah. Yeah. If that one comes out, I'm going to keep that one pretty close. I probably won't tell anybody about it.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. So, well, cool. So that's what Onyx can do for us right now, which is, it's a super powerful tool. I love it. I like using it. I'm in it all the time. It's, you know, some days I'm just kind of, I'll be randomly thinking about hunting areas or something, and I'll log into my Onyx and kind of surf around and look through different areas. So like I said, that's what we can do with it right now. What's coming up new for 2019, 2020, sort of the way forward? What are you guys working on?
Yeah. So one of the big things, and it's actually, we recently have implemented it, but we're going to be continuing to improve on and, add some functionality within it, but we recently added wind and weather to the app. So now when you pull up the app, in the bottom right hand corner, you'll see a new icon. And if you touch that, you know, it will show you, I guess let's take a quick step back. It'll show you the actual locations of wind and weather stations. So usually those being airports, you know, a lot of the airports show those, but it will show you an actual location with exact wind and weather of that current location at that given time. So it's not really a predictor. A lot of the times, you know, out here in the West, it's like, depending on which side of the mountain you're on, the wind's going to be blowing a different direction, as well as thermals, whether the sun, you know, is making those thermals come up or down or whatnot. So we chose to, instead of predict, we're showing real time weather. And then actually we just released a new version of it that will show the extended forecast for that spot. So whether you're checking weather for a stand location or, you know, you're coming out to Montana next week and you want to look and see what the weather's like, now you don't have to leave the Onyx app. You can just look right there.
Cool. Where's that at? I'm sorry. I'm looking at it. I'm looking for it right now. I'm on a computer though. Is it on the computer or phone?
Nope. So right now it's only in the app.
Okay. Got it.
Yep. So yeah, it's in the bottom right hand corner, down where my location icon is to get you back to your GPS location. But yeah, so that's one of the new things that I'm pretty excited about. I know a lot of our users are. You know, we had a lot of feedback the last couple of years of people wanting that, and so we just decided to build it out and get it implemented. So I'm looking forward to that one. We're constantly going to be working on and upgrading that, as well as all of our other features. You know, we briefly talked about the sharing the waypoints, and you know, one of the things that we're hoping to do is make that process a little bit easier and possibly even be able to share multiple waypoints at one time, you know, so you're not having to send one location. So if I, you know, have 5-10 waypoints for a hunt lined up, you know, in the future, once we get to it, you know, I'll be able to send you all those. So yeah, just a lot of improvements coming down the pipe.
Awesome. So let's talk about subscriptions a little bit. You guys offer two different packages or two different subscriptions. Is that right?
Yep. So we have a premium and an elite membership, and the premium gets you a single state of your choosing. The elite is for all 50. So basically the same data, you know, just one single state, one's all 50. The premium membership is $29.99 for that single state. The elite for all 50 is $99, $100. We'll get you the nation. So, and that is an annual membership.
So if you think you're going to be hunting two or three states, you know, it's probably going to be a benefit to get the elite membership. If you're just sticking around your one home state, then premium might be the way to go.
Yep, for sure. And we do have a free 7-day trial too. So anybody who downloads the app from whether it be the App Store, or Google Play Store, if you just search Onyx Hunt, download the app, you can sign up for a free risk-free trial, play around with it for 7 days, you know, check out your hunting spot, look at where you live, make sure it's going to work out for you. And then after that 7 days is when you can purchase either one of those.
Okay. For the phone, go to whatever app store you've got. For a computer, can you download it off of the Onyx website?
Yeah. So if you go to just www.onyxmaps.com, then yeah, right in the upper right hand corner, there's a start mapping button, and that'll get you squared away.
Perfect. So there you go. Anybody that wants to play around with it, check it out. You get 7 days to mess around with it if you haven't already.
Yeah. And we're really active on social media, you know, on Instagram, Facebook, you know, we're always on there, as well as our customer service team. So if anybody had any questions, definitely reach out to us on social media or you know, give our customer service a call, and we'll be sure to help everybody out.
Perfect. 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 So for you personally, I'm sure you carry your Onyx with you every time you go hunting.
Yep.
What kind of hunts would you get into last year? You said you, we were kind of talking before the show, and Dylan said he did some cool hunts last year. So now I'd kind of like to shift over and talk about hunting a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year was a good year. You know, some definitely some highs and lows within the season, but, you know, starts out here in Montana, we're very fortunate that pretty much most of the time of year, we've got a season open. Our bear season, spring bear season starts here in a couple weeks, April 15th. And so that's a pretty long spring season, and it's just great to be able to, you know, stretch the legs after a long winter and get out and sit behind some glass and spot bears. And I think I was a part of three or four successful bear hunts last spring. I didn't notch a tag myself, but I was tagged along with quite a few. So that was good. Helped a few people get their first bears and whatnot. So that was a good spring. And then last fall, I was fortunate enough to be able to harvest a bull elk with my bow. And then right after that, I actually went up to British Columbia on a moose hunt of my dad's, just to tag along and experience that with him. So that was a really fun, interesting one for me. I've never hunted moose and never experienced that. So that was a new place and definitely, you know, some memories that I'll never forget. So that was a great trip. And came back to Montana and was fortunate enough to be able to fill my tag with a nice mule deer. So yeah, it was a busy year, and I hope that 2019 is the same.
Yeah, man, that sounds like a great year actually. So that moose hunt, is that a once in a lifetime?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, you could do it again for sure, but it's a pretty expensive hunt in British Columbia. You have to hunt with a guide, an outfitter, if you're not a, you know, not from there. So yeah, it was an incredible hunt all around. I mean, we flew over 100 miles into a secluded lake on a float plane, you know, a cub up there, and were dropped off and hunted moose with his bow for 10 days. So yeah, it was new country, you know, new species, and it was just incredible.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah, cool. And then everything else was in Montana, your bear and or the bear hunts and the elk. Yep. And mule deer was all in Montana.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I haven't done a whole lot of out-of-state hunting. It's something that I'm going to get into, and I'm starting to build up some points in some other states and start to, you know, really hone in on which states I want to hunt and what's going to work out in the next few years. But, you know, like I said, we're very fortunate in Montana. We've got long seasons, and it's a very opportunistic state to where if you don't, you know, for example, with a deer or an elk tag, if I don't fill my elk tag all archery season, I have a week off, and then I've got another, you know, month-ish to hunt with rifles. So, yeah, it's just there's a lot of seasons going on here, and yeah, I just haven't found a whole lot of reason to wander elsewhere quite yet.
No, I have just in the last couple of years, you know, through social media and the podcast and all of that stuff, I've made some friends that are out there in Montana, and they keep telling me, you got to, after you move to Washington, just make the drive, right? Just come on over to Montana and let's do some hunting out here. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know about this year. I'm hoping next year to be able to put it. It's a little bit expensive for a non-resident to get over there and do it, but I think it'd be worth it. It'd be a lot of fun to go over there.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a great state. And like I said, I mean, I'm not super familiar with hunting other states, but in the next couple of years, I'm definitely going to start venturing into it.
Any idea where you're going to go? What states?
So Wyoming and Idaho intrigue me definitely because we're so close. You know, the last thing I want to do is take a lot of time to travel to another state to hunt. And because really it's going to be burning up my time to hunt Montana, no matter what I choose to do. So Wyoming and Idaho definitely are on the list. I'm starting to buy points in Wyoming, and I think we might actually apply for Idaho for the first time this year. So things start there and see where it goes.
What do you got planned for 2019?
Basically just a lot of Montana hunts. Like I said, buying a couple more points for Wyoming. But if we do, we're actually talking about possibly doing a Idaho deer tag. So that'll be a first for me if we go forward with it. Looking forward to it. But as far as Montana goes, bear season starts here pretty soon. I'm really excited to get out and start watching bears again. And then our archery antelope tag starts a couple weeks before our elk and deer season. So definitely going to put in for that tag and start archery antelope hunting mid-August. September rolls around and it's time to chase some elk with a bow, hopefully be successful, and then November for mule deer. So yeah, hopefully that's what 2019 brings.
I'd love to hear about it after your season's over. I'll hit you up again, try to get you back on and talk about 2019.
For sure.
So before I cut you loose, what's one piece of advice that you would give to a new hunter that's coming out west for the first time, or maybe a second time, just sort of that new guy that's coming out?
I mean, this is probably some obvious advice, but my biggest thing would be ask questions, find people who live out here. Myself, being born and raised here in Montana, if somebody reached out with some questions of, hey, I've never done this type of hunt, I've never stayed, I've never had camp on my back for multiple days, or I've never hunted in the mountains, I would definitely be more than happy to help out, answer any questions and whatnot. And I think for the most part, the hunting community is like that. So, find people who are familiar with it and ask questions and just absorb it, I think that's probably the best piece of advice I could give, because, there's a lot of things that I'm not familiar with. If I was to go to the Midwest and hunt whitetails, I wouldn't really have a clue where to start personally. So I would probably try and find somebody in that area where I could talk to and could help point me in the right direction.
See, I thought you were going to tell everybody, buy Onyx and use all of these things that we talked about today.
That definitely is going to put everybody in the right direction for sure.
Well, I think so too. I think it certainly helps people, and there's a lot of power behind the application. So
especially for those users that, may only have 4 or 5 days a week to come out, they're taking precious time off work, and, the last thing that they want to do is come out to a new place and spend half of that time trying to figure out the area and figure out where they can camp and where they're going to get into elk and whatnot. It's definitely a lot better to come with a game plan of, okay, I know where these trails are. I know where my unit boundaries are. I know, a couple different plans that we want to implement while we're there. Just to come out, it's going to manage the time in the field and make it just much more enjoyable.
Yeah, agreed. Totally agree. I know that's what we did last year. And it makes it a lot easier too if you're hunting partners are in separate areas and you're sharing those waypoints and you're talking about different places. So as we wrap it up, I'd like to get your contact information and certainly, the information for Onyx, where to find it and phone numbers and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. So, as far as Onyx goes, the main point of contact, if you go to just onyxmaps.com, we're going to have our customer service tab. We're going to have our frequently asked questions, just everything about the product. So definitely, I think that's a good one. As I mentioned, we're very active on social media. So Onyx Hunt on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, YouTube is where we promote a lot of our ambassador content and our own content, as well as product education videos and so on and so forth. So definitely a great resource there. The Onyx customer service phone number is 406-540-1600. So that's where you can call in and talk to our customer service representatives, whether it be for a question or just, hey, I need an overview of the product, or, I'm planning on doing this next year, how can this help me? Just anything like that. So that's all the Onyx stuff. And then as far as my information goes, my email is just my name, Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N at onyxmaps.com is best point of contact for me.
Got it. And Are you on Instagram also, or do you just go with the what's on Onyx?
Yep. Nope. I do have my own personal Instagram as well. It's same Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N, Hunter, my middle name, Dowson, my last name. So Dylan Hunter Dowson on Instagram.
Well, that's all I've got, man. I really appreciate you coming on. And I know it was kind of fast and furious. There's so much stuff to cover, but I think we hammered a lot of it down and at least gave a good overview of what the app can do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We really appreciate the opportunity to chat and look forward to catching up in the future.
Definitely. Well, thanks, Dylan. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for listening. Definitely thanks to Dylan for coming on. Hopefully that shed a new picture on Onyx Hunt. It's just super powerful. If you don't have it already, get out there, find it, check it out, use the code ROOKIES, save a bundle of money. Again, I wanted to say thanks to Elk 101, University of Elk Hunting, and to Go Hunt for partnering up with the Backcountry Rookies. And thank you to Dan Johnson over at Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network for hosting on our podcast over here. Next show is going to be a good one. Lan Tawney, who's the CEO of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, is coming on to talk about what is Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, where did it come from, where is it at now, what are they doing in the future. And then he also really dives into this new law that passed that it's known as S-47, or it's also known as the John Dingell Conservation Act. Lan really goes into detail about what's that do for us. What did it give us? What did we gain from it? And how it's going to help us in the future. Good show coming up next week. I really encourage everybody to tune in for that one. I think you'll learn a lot from Land and BHA. Thanks for listening. I'm out of here.